In all, there were around a dozen iconographies that Grandsire Tamora wanted to talk about. I'd heard of all of them, but I hadn't realized that there were so many until she made us sort through them one by one. Particularly interesting was the rating of their relative dangers. After much back and forth, we concluded that the most dangerous of the lot was not the Yor, as one might have expected, but rather the Moshianic, which was a hybrid of the Cleven and the Panthabrian. It held that we were going to emerge from the gates and bring enlightenment to the world and usher in a new age. It tended to peak every 100 or 1,000 years as people got ready for the centenarian or millenarian gates to open. It was dangerous because it raised people's expectations to the point of delirium and drew many pilgrims and much attention. Because of my work with Fra Orlo, I knew that the Moshianic iconography was ascendant, in the guise of the so-called Warden of Heaven. Our hierarchs had become aware of this, and the Warden Fendant had asked Grandsire Tamora to lead us in this discussion. In the end, she gave the whole crop permission to go extramuros tomorrow, which surprised no one. The threat of locking us up had only been to make us pay heed. The discussion had actually become quite interesting, and the only thing that ended it was the ringing of the curfew bell. It was part of our discipline never to sleep 2 nights in a row in the same cell. Assignments were posted each evening on a slate in the refectory. We had to go back there to find out where we'd be sleeping and whom we'd be chumming with. So the entire group made its way out of the chalk hall and around the cloister, chattering and laughing about Docs and Yor and the other funny characters that the extras had dreamed up in an effort to make sense of us. Older Fras and Surs sat on the benches that faced into the cloister, assembling sandals, normally our sort of job, and giving us dirty looks. It was important that I not let any one of the sandal makers catch my eye, so I looked elsewhere. I noticed Fra Orlo emerging from one of the other chalk halls with a sheaf of leaves, cluttered with calculations, tucked under his arm. He started one way, then, seeing our crowd, turned into the garden instead, and headed off in the direction of the minster. This gave me a little twinge, for a certain tablet of Saint Tancred's Nebula was gathering dust on a table in a workroom up in the Starhenge, holding down a couple of leaves stained with inconclusive notes and scratch-outs in my handwriting. Orlo would notice, and know I hadn't worked on it in days. A few minutes later I was in the cell that I was to share that night with two other Fras, wrapping myself up in my bolt and making my sphere a pillow. You might expect that as I lay there trying to get to sleep, I'd be thinking about Appert or about the iconographies. But spying Fra Orlo in the cloister had put me in mind of the slippery sentence that Fra Corlanton had spoken at dinner, and that I had swallowed without tasting. Now it had become one of those unwelcome thoughts I didn't know how to get rid of. "That's what I heard," Fra Corlanton had said. But my dialogue with Orlo had taken place only an hour before dinner. Who among the spectators had run off to spread the story in the new Circle chapter house? Why did anyone care?